Hi everyone, this is Andrea, and I'd like to welcome you to our April webinar and podcast episode. A quick reminder on asking questions. If you're joining us live today, you have the opportunity to ask a question at any time. Just use the Q&A function on your Zoom control panel, and that will be answered at the end of the session. If you're viewing the recording or listening to the podcast later and would like to ask a question, feel free to contact us directly at smithinc.com. Before I hand over to Mark, I'd like to acknowledge our webinar partner this month, Jazoodle. And I'll share a little bit more information on Jazoodle at the end of the session. And now I will hand over to Mark Holton, Smithink Director, who is presenting today's session on business advisory software. Over to you, Mark.
Thank you, Andrea, and good afternoon, everyone. Good morning, depending where you are. And welcome to our, what month is it? April webinar. Today's topic is business advisory software, what the industry is using. And I want to highlight one word there. It's what they're using. It's not what they're buying. I want to focus this session today very heavily on how to use software in the advisory space to make an impact in the firm that you're working in. The black and whites of our industry, and I'll be honest with you, I'm seeing more interest in advisory than I probably have in the last 29, 30 years. I'm getting more firms asking me about it. I'm getting more firms saying, where do we start? What do? How do we structure it? How do we get the right staff? Or how do we price it? So there's definitely a hell of a lot of interest there. And the other undeniable fact compared to when I started this almost 30 years ago is there's a mountain of software there as well. I must admit, when I started, there was two bits of software. One was a tool that I call the accountant's love tool, and that's Excel. So as accountants, we all love Excel, let's be honest. And secondly, it was a tool that was called Optimus that later became a tool called MYOB Profit Optimizer. And the thing that got me onto that was very much the fact that it turned numbers into knowledge. It gave me the opportunity as an advisor to have better quality conversations with the clients. And I look right back then and think there was so little available. I look at the market now and think, geez, there's so much available. And my first point here is there is a vast array of software out there and solutions out there in the market, all designed to assist us in providing initial and engaging advisory services to our clients. That's a fantastic thing. You know, I did a session just recently, you know, it was titled something around, I wish I was Benjamin Button. I wish I could grow backwards, start my journey again with some of the brilliant software that's available. And of all the software that is available, I haven't seen a bad one. You know, they're all great. They all turn numbers into knowledge. They all assist in the advisory process. I think it's just a wonderful opportunity in our industry at this time to be able to do this type of work with your clients who we know that require it. I really do. At first glance, let's be honest, many appear to do the same things. And there's a multitude of things, of software solutions out there doing the same thing. I know every vendor out there believes they're different, but from the surface, they all look pretty similar. And how do they fit more importantly into my business advisory process? And how do I choose the right one? And when it comes to the right one of the things that I've had before today is a couple of suppliers reaching out to me saying, I hope you're going to mention my tool. The answer is no, I'm not. If I was to do that, we'd be sitting here for about 4 or 5 hours talking about every solution out there, and I'm sure I'd still forget one. I'm not going to talk specifics today. You'll see some of the tools up there and some of the data I've got, but I would be more than happy to have a chat offline with anyone on this call today or anyone listening to it regarding the right solution to suit the service you want to offer in your firm. I'm a big believer solution drives performance. And if you haven't worked out what sort of services you want to offer, let alone how to explain them to a client in a manner they understand, let alone how much they cost you to deliver, let alone what price you're going to charge them at, and more importantly, who's going to do it, how they're going to do it, and do they have the capacity to do it, then no software in the world is going to help you get out there and become an advisor, a financial storyteller. So we have to get the infrastructure right, and we have to use software for what it's designed to, as an aid to deliver the service more professionally. So more than happy, I will give you a brutally honest recommendation based on you telling me what type of services you want to offer to your clients. And I'll talk to what I like, which is all I can do, and it's only my opinion. Okay, the challenge out there at the moment. Well, certainly, most of the state-of-the-art tools, thank goodness, are now cloud-based. The integration of data into the advisory workflow is critical, absolutely critical, when we're looking at what do we buy, what do we integrate. And we've got to get to that point of do one, supply many, not do again and again and again. In other words, we're going to get scalability in the advisory model. Okay? We've got to look at, well, how do we stop advisory software becoming shelfware? I did have a habit, by the way, of buying stuff, then thinking, what the hell do I do with it? And I called it shelfware because it's hard to call it software when it very rarely got near a computer, let alone a client. Certainly made me feel good, but didn't make any money. That made me feel bad. Next one, we need to get the right structure and infrastructure in the firm. The right structure is, what are you aiming at? Do you have the right staff? Do you have the right time? Do you have to develop capacity? How much capacity do we need? Do we need to change your model? The infrastructure, as in, who's going to do what, when, and how? What are we going to offer? Who's going to offer it? How's it going to be delivered? What does it cost? How much to sell? Et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Do I package it? We've got to get that structure in place in the first place. We also need an efficient client engagement and delivery model. I'll be honest with you, so many of the great tools out there sort of position themselves, and quite rightly, at the point that the client has agreed to come on board. Sure, you can use them to try to get the client more excited and more interested, but we need an engagement strategy. My question to you is, do you need software to go out there and have a conversation with a client, have a cup of coffee, run a needs analysis meeting, do a fishing trip? Well, I tell you what, in my experience, it helps. It certainly does. But it's not going to be the thing that's going to drive your performance when you go out and have a chat and assist in your listening and questioning skills when a client gives you that single bit of gold you want to develop. We need to get the right people on board and train them. Train, train, train. It's a bit like tax, isn't it? We do tax training every year, even though there's very little change. When it comes to advisory, in my experience, we do a little bit of training, then forget about it. Yet it is more dynamic, it's more detailed, and it's more lacking structure than the tax system ever does. So we've got to get training right. We need to develop champions in the firms. That could be software champions. It could be advisory champions. It could be someone that takes a service and drives and owns it and delivers it in your firm as well. And lastly, my advice to you is take on products and services incrementally, not all at once. Simple concept, isn't it? Do one thing well, then do another thing, not do a million things not well. So there's some of the challenges in our industry, and some of the software out there will certainly help you with those challenges. I have no doubt about that. So what do we go for? Look, some suppliers offer broad-based solutions that endeavor to cover all the firm's advisory needs under one cover. You know, if I've seen anything in our industry over the last probably 4 to 5 years, it's a lot of firms making a decision to stick with one suite, whatever that suite might be, and then whether it's good, bad, best of breed, whatever it takes, then knowing it once, supplying it many is more important than having people knowing too many things over too far in the firm. We can buy things most of these suppliers incrementally. They might not be best of breed in your mind, but they do offer consistency of process. You know, it's sort of like, you know, I'm starting up a new compliance firm. What system do I go out there and buy? You know, it's got to be much easier if I do my tax, my ledger, my doc management, my workflow and everything else under one house, or set it up with a strong infrastructure and feed in the other key processes. Okay? I think we've got to start to look towards that single type database model. Alternatively, well, some suppliers offer single cloud solutions that endeavor to cover more specific needs like budgeting, cash flows, like, you know, dashboards, turning numbers into knowledge, benchmarking, et cetera, et cetera. Okay, it doesn't offer the holistic consistency, but some of the software out there is quite brilliant. That's one of the decisions I think we need to make in this space. So, what type of services do you think will drive clients over the next 12 months? And if I'm talking today about working your services out that you want to deliver, then finding software to help you deliver, then surely the logical thing is to say, what are we going to do? Are we going to do things like tax planning? I've always seen tax planning as the bridge between advisory and compliance, or compliance and advisory. It is advisory. The government doesn't insist you do it. And there's a couple of really great solutions out there at the moment in tax planning you should look at. financial planning, risk and insurance reviews, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. You know, succession planning. How do I do it? What do I do? Do I do it through Excel, Word? Do I do it through a back of the envelope type approach? Strategic planning, one thing I did a stack of in my firm, and that also linked into business planning. Setting the strategy for the client, as in where you are today, where you need to be tomorrow, how the hell you get there, who's going to do it, when's it going to get done? Believe me, breeds back into business advisory and helping them do so. You know, benchmarking. Found clients love to know what their peers are doing. And the last two on that list there is what I did a stack of work on. And that's value indications. Talking to clients about what they want their businesses to be worth in the future. And then how are we going to get them there? Establishing where the gap is. Who's going to do it? What are we going to do? When are we going to remeasure it to see how well you're doing? And lastly, something that's always given me the proverbials is how much money the bank makes and how much work we do and don't recover. So I got stuck into pre-lending assessments very early in my days, guys, and I've been looking for good software ever since to help me do it. So because I haven't found anything, at least in this country, that would really do a good pre-lending assessment for me, a couple of great tools in the market I know of go very close, then I sort of design my own little thing. I also have my own structure when it comes to engaging clients, doing needs analysis, doing a fishing trip, finding out what's important to them, and that sort of stuff. I don't necessarily need to spend money on solutions when 90% of the solution is driven by my involvement with the client face to face. Other things like, I don't know, budgets and cash flows, success plan. I don't call it budget and cash flows, I've got to be honest. I call it a success plan. Every time I call it a budget and cash flow, the client said, "What do I need that for?" Or, "Why didn't you tell me about that earlier?" Or, "I'm doing all right. What do I need that? Why do I want to do that? Or, I'm still here, aren't I?" So I decided to change the very nature of the service title and behind the scenes do what I always did, which is budgets and cash flows. But to the client, this is their action, this is their success, this is their strategy. Scenario planning. I'm big about showing clients the financial impact of key business decisions before they're made. Not afterwards, before they're made. I help them, at least through strategic alliances. I never did this in my firm, with their collections, their payables, their working capital, their underlying assumptions that require development of plans, et cetera, et cetera. And the big sleeper, I think, is offering quarterly board of advice meetings where you, as the external chairperson, hold the client accountable to their plan. Bear in mind, if you haven't got a strategy, a strategic position in the first place, very difficult. If the client doesn't do a budget and cash flow or an action or success plan, how do you measure their performance going forward? How do you sit there and say, this is where you wanted to be, this is where you got to, here's the gap, what went wrong? Did we misplan? Did something go wrong I didn't know about? I have no doubt small business clients want accountability, no doubt at all. Okay, and I'm still looking for great board of advice models in that space. Also, managing cash resources, working capital, WIP. I mean, how many clients have WIP and don't account for it? Why? Because we don't have to worry about it for tax purposes. One of my great frustrations, I don't care what tool it is I get a set of financials and it doesn't have a breakdown of direct and indirect costs. So I feed it into any good benchmarking analysis database tool. And it shows 100% gross profit across the years. And I tell you what, tell me a client that will look at that and won't ask a question. My real question to you is, does compliance accounts help advisory or hinder advisory? And if they'll leave that with you to think about, because I'm going to do a webinar on that a little bit later on down the track. But I've always believed KPI management, lending covenants, what are the banks looking at? How do I get the bank to say yes? Liquidity ratios, profitability, asset management, return on investment. I've struggled over the years to get some of my clients to understand their business is an investment, yet they manage the investment returns on share portfolios, manage and investment properties, manage funds. They don't look at their business that way. I see advisory as education, always have. Any software tool that can help me educate a client and get the message across, I think is valuable. And you're fortunate, guys, these days, because there's a stack of them out there to do this. I'll leave that with you, and we'll make these slides and this taping available, because these are all the areas in the previous slides that I've done a stack of work with, written a stack of case studies with, and spend a lot of time training accounting firms to get out there and do this. The systems and the processes are critical, but more importantly is the people, the human resources behind what we deliver here. Okay, so what's being offered out there? One of the things we did in Smithing and did for years, we did an event called AXA for about 11 years, is we surveyed the market, and we've done a little bit of survey work since, and I've been doing some of my own across the board. So over the last few years, let's have a look at what the industry is sort of doing when it comes to services. Okay, and the one thing that stands out without fear or favor is cash flow and budgets are the largest service offering in our industry. You'll notice tax planning is only reported there for three periods because the previous two, no one ever separated tax planning. They buried it all in compliance when they billed it. We are now doing that much more efficiently. You know, budgets and cash flows, why is that surprising? We did a stack of them through COVID. You know what my problem with budgets and cash flows are? There's a multitude of brilliant tools that I'm happy to talk to you about offline that will help you do this. But a budget and cash flow treated as a passive engagement, as in the client went to the bank said, I need it, the client come to you because they can't do it themselves, you do it, you bill it, and you forget about it. I always use the budget and cash flow as the entree point to sell the client into my board of advice model, where I, as the external chairperson, hold them accountable to what they achieve in the budget and cash flow on at least a quarterly basis. Some went to monthly, but at the end of the day, that's the success plan. That's the action plan. It's fine to do it. It'll satisfy the need. But how many of those are you turning from a piecemeal to an annuity opportunity? And if you're not doing that, then we need to address that and address it ASAP. I'm a bit of a lover of reports and benchmarking, as most people would know. I'm a fan of the good, bad, and ugly that Business Fitness did for years. And I saw this slide. The one thing that made me laugh is across the revenue domiciles of our industry, have a look what the most popular business advisory software application is. You know, I tell you, it's the love tool. It's Excel. Accountants love spreadsheets. We do spreadsheets, guys, when there's no requirement to do a spreadsheet. We sit back, we do it, we look at it, we color it in, we put it in front of a client, and by golly, we're proud. But when you look at those numbers from 46% at the lower end of revenue to 52% at the higher end of revenue, a lot of us are still using that manually orientated, often non-collaborative type approach when it comes to a lot of the advisory work we do. A few different providers up there on screen that you'll see in other. There's a stack of them out there. And that's why I'm not going to talk about what I think is good and bad or otherwise today, but happy to do that with you offline. But Excel is still the big one. I talk to a lot of firms. I say to them, what do you use for budget and cash flows? Excel. And there's nothing wrong with that. Let me tell you, I was born and bred on Lotus 1-2-3 before Microsoft came in and took the market with that. So I'm a lover of spreadsheets. But if I can do it smarter, more effectively, simpler, and integrate a large amount of the data for my client's system, I ain't going to sit there and say, I'm going to stick with my happy plan. I'm going to go looking for solutions that can make me more efficient and the delivery of my service more effective. Okay, also found this in the Business Fitness Good, Bad, and Ugly Insight poll on technology. It's what the next purchase is for a lot of firms. And you can see there, the business advisory software has a strong representation. Roughly 20% at the bottom end of town, 24% at the top end of town, and a pretty solid, this is what I need to look at in the future. Hence why you're online today and why we're talking about it. None of the above worry me. I'm not sure what those firms are up to. Maybe their attitude has changed a dash since the advent of AI, ChatGPT, and other more explosive type technologies. Okay, so we've only got a little bit of time today and it goes very quick. So, a couple of key conclusions. The first thing I do is don't take on too much. Think before we jump on this. And I've seen many accountants that have gone out and bought software solutions, then thought, what do I do with it? Which clients do I put it in front of? Who's going to do it? How do I train them? Okay. I think we've got to get that back in the right order. Secondly, I'd adopt products incrementally. If I'm doing a stack of budgets and cash flows, look for a good solution. No doubt that's the first place to start. If I need a bit of assistance on how to engage clients to get them interested, at least interested enough to the point they sign a proposal for advisory work, then let's type a chat about the sort of software tools and solutions out there that can help you become better at that engagement process. Okay? I would not worry too much personally about how do I deliver something. I mean, at the end of the day, if you haven't got clients that have signed a proposal, and the reason for that is we really don't know what we're looking to sell, how we're going to do it, who's what it costs. And firstly, if you haven't got the capacity and the commitment from up above to do this in your firm, I don't think it really matters how you deliver it, does it? Thirdly, I would always look to run your advisory service through a CRM, a client or customer resource management system. And there's a stack of great solutions out there at the moment. Okay. And the reason I do that is because advisory is not like compliance. You're not doing one tax return, four BAS statements pretty well every year, you know, with reasonable proximity. With a CRM in advisory, your engagements could be as diverse, as varied, and as detailed, depending on the client, irrespective if the client's in a different industry or the same industry. So how do you make sure things don't slip through the cracks? How do you make sure if you make a promise and a proposal to a client, you deliver it? Because if you don't, the client will measure you on the whole firm, not just the advisory side of things, the whole firm. So we need systems and processes behind the scenes. We need somewhere to store my prospects, my suspects, my clients. We need somewhere to record my actions, my outcomes, my projects, my strategies. So something to do that is critical. I create the right structure in your firm without fear or favor. I then get the right infrastructure. Who's doing what, when, how? What are we offering? How do we do it? What does it cost to deliver? What do we sell it at? Et cetera, et cetera. I develop a strong, repeatable client engagement system, and every client would go through it. Not just the ones I don't know, not the ones I don't play golf with or haven't been a friend or a mate for a number of years, everyone. We go through an onboarding system with our clients coming into the compliance side of our business. It needs to be strong, it needs to be repeatable, it needs to be compulsory. I develop ongoing delivery models when the time's right. I wouldn't waste too much of my time in the early days worrying about delivery when I should be worrying about, you know, structure, infrastructure, and engagement. I get the right people on board and I train, train, train. Okay. And training in advisory is training in the different industries, the different nuances. You saw earlier, I do a lot of KPI work. I use Excel for that. I created the top 10 KPI matrix that I use with every client. I even use it with some of the boards that I sit on. Okay. And the only real difference between every client, every board I sit on is probably the last three KPIs of the top 10 relate to that person's industry. The first seven are stock standard. Easy deliverable service. The future, very quickly in advisory. I see big data. I see leveraging the data inside cloud accounting systems. And I see the next stage in the development of software as being real-time benchmarking and probably real-time budgeting. I've seen this overseas at the moment. Haven't seen that much of it here. But I think it's a big opportunity to be able to sit down and have a chat with a client looking at benchmarking data that's up to date and relative, let alone data of actual to budget that is equally as uptime and relative. I think with real-time trends is going to be another huge opportunity for us. And I think predicting future performance is critical. How do you predict future performance if you don't have a budget and cash flow upfront with a client, let alone manage that at least every quarter in board of advice meetings? Sort of a bit self-defeating. I think the future of machine learning is going to be a big changer for us. I think advice previously given, same or similar, can be learned by a machine and delivered by a machine in the future. Maybe not with the empathy and with the skill and with the sympathy you guys deliver. But hey, can't say never. I think something that is done once can be automated. And if it can be automated, it can be delivered for free or much cheaper than what's currently going on. I also think, and I had a question before today, it was from Campbell Gould, and thanks, Campbell, saying, how do you see AI impacting this space? I think that's still at the bank to find out what's going on, mate. I really do. I mean, we talk about apps, advisory, we talk about AI, we talk about ChatGPT, and it is fantastic technology. Do not get me wrong. You know what nobody talks about, however, Campbell, is how the hell I take that technology, turn it into a service, convince the client they should pay for it, and how much I bill it for. And that's where I think we miss the mark with a lot of this new technology. We look at it, we think it's great, we think it's innovative, we talk about how it will influence the industry and what will change. But tell me, how do I deliver it in a service the client's going to pay for? How do I communicate it in a manner that the client sees beneficial enough to sign a proposal? And then tell me, how do I price it? How do I hit that sweet spot where I'm not going to drive the client away because it's too dear? And I'm not going to charge too little because if I then do a good job with it, how do I charge more in the future without doing more work? That's where I see the challenge. I really do. So where to from here, very quickly? I always put this up. If you want to do a complimentary advisory software assessment with me offline, more than happy to. We'll talk about your firm's advisory numbers and future goals, your risks and issues, and we'll talk about your current and future software requirements. And I'll be brutally honest. I'll give you my honest opinion because my opinion will be based on what you want to achieve in your pathway to systemize advisory success. If you're interested in that, guys, just reach out to me at Smith Inc. Andrea will give you the email address a little bit later. More than happy to have a chat. No cost, of course. I just love talking to people in the industry and see what they're up to. And I know you've got specific questions because I've seen a few of them come through earlier, and I'd love to address them, particularly Alex, Joseph, and Jerry, who have sent them through. Okay, but I think we need to address those questions one-on-one offline, so that we can make it a more personal approach for you. And Andrea, I think we've got 1 minute to spare. Can I pass back to you just to have a bit of a chat about where we go from here? And I'll leave you with this one, guys. I love this book. It's called The Ride of a Lifetime. And I love this guy's attitude to business. And I love this quote. It says, all change or innovations that have happened in this world are due to people willing to see something more than others see. Where others see roadblocks, successful people see opportunities. Advisory success, advisory software, advisory systems and processes need to be looked at with a really open mind. Okay? There's a million and one roadblocks in our industry at the moment: lack of time, lack of resources, lack of staff, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. We've got to get through that. We've got to be future focused, we've got to be action focused. If you get a chance to have a look at this fellow, do so. If you get a chance to read his book again, it is called The Ride of a Lifetime. Okay? You'll learn something out of it. Back to you, Andrea.
Thank you, Mark. Great session as always. No doubt a few of you will have some questions, so do feel free to type that into the Q&A function and we will read that out for you. As Mark said, if it is, super specific, he will take that offline, but feel free to put it in and we'll take it from there. And just while we're waiting for questions, I just wanted to share a bit of information about our webinar partner this month, Jazoodle. Discover your client's business story and help them write their future story with Jazoodle. Scalable and easy to use reporting, valuation, and forecasting is now at your fingertips. Jazoodle is an advisory support I can't say that word, platform that's as easy as 1, 2, 3. Integrate with Xero, MYOB, and QuickBooks in seconds, creating instant KPIs and reports that are just a click away. Business and cash forecasting through to easy to use scenario creations. Employee planning, asset purchase planning, cash conversion planning are just seconds away. Head to jazoodle.com and start your 7-day trial today. So there's some information there on the web, on the slide for you, as well as the Jazoodle website, and we'll share that with the recording today. And when I send the recording out, we'll also share Mark's offer of the complimentary assessment. So if you want to take that up, you can get in contact with us directly, and we'll get that happening. Not too many questions, actually, just one comment at this point from Sal, who has said, and it's a good point, Mark. You can have the best platform out there, but if you don't know how to market and engage with your clients and prospects, nothing happens.
100% Sal. A good advisor, mate, it's in here. It's got to be inside. Got to be inside. As Andrea said, if anybody does have any questions, please let me know. I'm happy to have a chat offline. Just a quick update to our young guns. We had just under 100 people up there on the Gold Coast last year. Fantastic audience of like-minded, professional, fearless, people looking to change the industry. To the point that David and I said, let's go, let's do it again. So the date, save the date, is 21-22 October this year. We moved venues to the Crown Plaza at Surfers Paradise, halfway between Surfers and Broadbeach, right in front of the tram stop there. And we'll have further details available, Andrea. So when will we have the web page up, Andrea, roughly? When can people find out more?
End of April, we're aiming to get everything online by the end of April. We'll have a super early bird available immediately, which will be available until the 30th of June. So we will send an email as soon as all of that is ready.
Love to see you there, guys. Andrea, any questions?
No more questions, so that's good. Hopefully you've answered everybody.
Perhaps I could answer one before we finish.
Okay.
Jerry Anderson. Thanks, Jerry, for a question. The question was, for advisory services, is it better to quote fixed price or time? Jerry, there's no way in the world I would quote time when I'm billing advisory. I've always tried to bill advisory on the basis of value. But I need to know what the cost of delivery is to be able to look at what my go-to-market selling price is. I've got a stack of ideas on that, Jerry. More than happy to have a conversation with you, mate. But at the end of the day, my clients always paid me in advance monthly. It was a fixed price agreement with a very clear scope. If there was scope creep, I did not get burnt. I did in the early days, but I was determined not to as I went forward. But I've always believed in the value proposition. The only challenge with value-based billing is it's much harder to measure. But the more you do it, the easier it becomes, believe me. And when you sit down in front of a client in the trenches and tell them a fee and they don't squirm, then one, you've either hit the right mark or you've charged too little. More than happy to have a chat about that one, Jerry. Joseph Andrew also asked about the price of software. I need to know what type of software and what sort of services, Joseph. More than happy to have a chat. Campbell also asked a little bit more about the sweet spot in terms of client size. Campbell, really quickly, the size never bothered me. It was the attitude I was targeting at. I was looking for a client that, one, wanted to improve their business, saw us as a partner in the process, but I did have some definition around who I would and who I wouldn't target as well, at least in the early days. So more than happy to have a chat to you, just reach out. And Alex asked, how do we know what's the best software to use with so many offerings? There's the chicken and egg story. It comes back to, as I said earlier, to services, Alex. And again, let's have a chat, mate. Let's talk about what you want to offer. And I'll give you a brutally honest assessment of what I think is the best solution. Happy to do it. And happy to help anyone, guys. I love advisory, as you probably know. I created my career on it back in the days where I just had a gut full of compliance, I've got to be honest. So I'd love to help you and give you some structure in where you need to go with this. But thanks for being online, Andrea. Thanks for hosting it. And I think that's about it.
That's great. Thank you, Mark. Thanks for presenting. Thanks, everyone, for attending. And a special shout out to our webinar partner, Jazoodle, this month. Thanks, everybody.
Thank you.